إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking yesterday about the natural laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and this was in relation to the statement that some people make out of ignorance, where they want to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the misfortunes that they are themselves subject to. And yesterday I mentioned to you the principle of cause and effect, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world and the natural laws that He made in this world, both natural laws that apply to things and laws that apply to our relationships. Today I want to talk about the other aspect of this, which is the aspect of choice, the freedom to choose, the concept of free will. Islam tells us that we have the freedom to choose, but every choice has a price. Not only Islam tells us, this is what is reality, this is what is logic. Anyone is free to choose. You are free to choose to walk in the wall, walk into the wall, right? You are free to choose to try to walk through the wall. But there is a price. Every single choice has a price. Freedom to choose does not mean that the choice is free. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us in this life limited free will. We don't have absolute free will. For example, we have the will, or we have the choice, the ikhtiyar, the ability to eat whatever we like. But we have no ability to control what happens to that food after it has gone down the throat. Right? Now, I may be very fond of sweets, and at the same time, I might be diabetic, very seriously diabetic. But I find this huge bowl of 12 gulab jamuns, which looks like it came straight down from Jannah, and I decide that I'm going to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and I'm going to eat all the 12 gulab jamuns, and after all, I took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so nothing will happen to me. So what will happen to you? After you eat the 12 gulab jamuns, you will go into diabetic shock and you will die. The only benefit is that you would have said Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But that will not save you from death. Right? Because the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural law operates, which is that if you are diabetic and if you eat that much of sugar, it will do something not very nice to you. This is the principle of free choice. We are free to choose, but the choice has a price. There are two mistaken ideas about qadar, two mistaken ideas about khismat or muqaddar, which do not understand this concept of free will or limited free will. One is where people, and there was actually a whole school of thought called Qadariya, who said that everything has been predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there is nothing in our control. So if a thief is stealing, he is stealing because this was written that he had to steal. So he is majboor, he is, you know, compelled to steal, right? So this is one school of thought. Now obviously that is not correct, for the simple reason that we know, our own experience tells us that you are not compelled to steal. When you go to a shop or you find something, you know, in the shop, you are not compelled to take it and put it in your pocket and try to go through the, go past the till. I mean, you know this, I know this. I mean, it doesn't even need anything. You know this is not true. But even if you want to believe that, then you have to then deal with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a specific punishment for stealing in the Quran. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compelled the thief to steal and then he prescribed a punishment for stealing, then na'udhu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unjust. Allah is zalim, na'udhu billah. Allah cannot be zalim. Allah is not unjust. So obviously this group of, this school of thought to say that everything is pre-written. If somebody is inventing a false ideology, well, it's not his fault. This is what was written for him. This is what Allah made him do. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that nobody will enter Jannah unless he accepts Islam. So first you compel somebody to be on a false ideology, then you burn him in the fire. Does it make sense? It makes no sense whatsoever. And it has no sense. So this is one school of thought which tries to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the choices that we make. We make this choice, whether it's a choice to worship anyone other than Allah, whether it's a choice to create false ideologies, whether it's a choice to do anything negative or anything positive, both sides, choice is ours. The consequences of the choice are not in our hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah said, say to them that your Rabb is Haqq. قُلْ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Your Rabb is Haqq, your Rabb is the truth. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. The one who wants to believe this and bring iman on this, he may do so, and the one who wants to deny it, he may also do so. إِنَّ عَاتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاتَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but the ones who do zulm, they will be wrapped in the fire on the day of judgment. So there is a consequence. But you are free to choose which way, one way or the other. So as I said, one group is this Qadariya people who want to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their bad choices. The second group are people who say that we are completely free to choose and that there is no limit whatsoever, we can do whatever we like. This again is stupid. This again does not even conform to our natural, experience. As I mentioned, you know that you have to follow certain rules, and you know that if you don't follow them, then you are going to suffer, as simple as that. If somebody says, I am completely free, you are not free, you are fooling yourself. So, Islam is a religion of reality, it's not a religion of fantasy. So, therefore, Islam focuses on the reality, and the reality is that we have limited free will and we have choices that we can make. We are free to choose, but every choice has a consequence. Now, it is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that having created a world with natural laws and having given us the freedom to choose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave us blind in that to say, choose whatever you want and discover what will happen. No. Because sometimes you might make a choice and then you discover and it's too late because you have destroyed yourself. Right? So, Allah did not leave us to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us. Allah said, okay, this is the world, these are the laws, all these choices are available to you, but make these choices and do not make these other choices. These choices are good for you. These choices have good consequences, the other choices have bad consequences. This is called Islam. This is called the Kitab of Allah, this is called the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers to teach the law and to practice the law and to demonstrate the law. Why? For our own benefit. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, eat these foods because it is good for you. Kulu mina tayyibat, eat what is pure, right? And do not eat what is not pure. These are the things which are bad for you. So don't eat these things, don't drink these things, right? Islam has got these prescriptions. And you might say, well, why is Islam, why does Islam have a position or have a prescription on everything in life? Because everything in life has a consequence, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not trying to tie you down in knots. It is for our own benefit. It's a principle of security that freedom also means freedom to in a negative sense, right? So security means restriction. Security means restriction. This is a freedom of this is a principle of all kinds of security. You wear a seat belt, right? It is security, but it's also a restriction. So you are restricted because you are wearing a seat belt. And if you don't wear the seat belt, you are free. Your body is free. If you are in a crash, then your body is free to bounce off the all kinds of surfaces and you know, destroy itself. Whereas if you are wearing a seat belt, yes, it's a restriction. Yes, it restricts you. You want to turn this way or that, there is a restriction. But that restriction is safety. That you have a password on your phone or your computer or something, it is a nuisance. You have to remember the password, or you have to have a thumb scan or retina scan or whatever it is. It is a nuisance, but it is a safety. So somebody else can't get into your machine. Somebody else cannot access your data, and so on. We have security checks when we board aircraft and so on and so forth. Yes, it's a nuisance, but it's a safety measure. It's make sure that something negative does not happen to you when you are on board the plane. That's exactly what Islam is. The restrictions in Islam are not put there out of some sadistic urge to cause pain to you. The restrictions are for our own safety. So when Islam says do this, don't do that, these restrictions are for our own safety. And the principle of Islam is that if something has been prohibited, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed all the doors leading to that. So it's if eating pork is prohibited, then trading in pork or storing pork or raising pigs or whichever, everything to do with it is prohibited. If intoxicants are prohibited, then everything to do with intoxication is prohibited. So if addictives are prohibited, everything to do with addictives is prohibited. So that is the whole basic principle in Islam, that, which is, it's not a question of small amount or large amount. Sometimes people make this argument with regard to, for example, interest-based earnings. People will say, no, but you see, the interest rate is very small. It's only 2% or 1%. Islam does not permit that. It's like saying that I'm not eating the whole pig. I'm eating only, 5 grams of, I'm eating one rasher of bacon or something. It doesn't work. It's whether you eat the whole pig or you eat one rasher of bacon, both are equally haram. So similarly, whether you are taking 1% interest or paying 1% interest, or you are paying 36% interest, both are equally haram. There is nothing less or more about that. Whether you bet 10 rupees on a horse or you bet 10 million, it is the same thing. There is no difference in that. Fornication, whether you do it every day or one day, is still fornication. I mean, there's no... The thing is that we must try to understand this. When we talk about, people make this big argument, oh, but you see the interest rate is small, right? So you ask the person, are you okay if your wife has an affair one time, never again in her life, but one night she spent with somebody else, is that okay? Only one night in her whole life, man. Now you work out the percentage of that, right? So we want to apply what suits us and we don't want to apply what doesn't suit us. What is haram, and as Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah said, that what is haram after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haram until the end of time. He's saying after the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because while he was alive, alayhi salam, wahi could have come. If something was haram, Allah could have changed it. But after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, whatever has remained has remained. This will not change, no matter who brings what opinion from anywhere, makes no difference. What is haram, what is halal is halal. Anyone can bring any ta'wil, anyone can bring any, explanation to convert haram into halal, which is what people do this all the time. I call these scholars for dollars. So, you go buy your fatwa. But that doesn't make, the fatwa is the fatwa, the hukum is the hukum. The fatwa is a legal opinion. The hukum is the law. A legal opinion does not change the law. So you can have any number of fatwas, the law still remains the law. So don't get confused with that. So therefore, as far as free will is concerned, yes, we have free will, but we have, first of all, limited free will, which is we are free to choose, but the consequences come with the choice. We are free to make the choice, but we are not free to change the consequences. Every choice has a consequence. That consequence comes with the choice. With the choice, it is in one package. You take the choice, the consequence comes along with it. It's not a, you can't say, I will choose this, but I will not take the consequence. No, that doesn't work. If you choose it, the consequence is with it. Right? So, this is the thing to understand. So, therefore, anyone who wants to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and na'udhu billah for their bad choices, well, first of all, it is illogical, makes zero sense, even without religion. And secondly, as far as Islam is concerned, it is completely false. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, He made the rules, He gave us free choice, He told us what to choose, He told us what not to choose, He told us which choice has what consequences. After that, if you choose, believe me, you are on your own, period. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will question us about the choices, not about what happened. Allah will question us about what did you do with the life that I gave you. Allah will not ask you how long did you live, why did you not live to be 100. No. That amount of time I gave you, 30, 40, 50, 60, 10, 15, whatever number of years, what did you do in this time? Then Allah will ask you, out of this time, what did you do with your youth? Because in your youth, you had extra abilities. You were stronger and you had more energy and this and that. Third thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you and me, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? Where did you earn it from? That we had this choice. And where did you spend it? We had this choice. Allah will not ask you, how much did you earn? Why did you not earn as much money as Jeff Bezos? Why did you not earn as much money as Bill Gates? Why did you not become a millionaire or a billionaire? Allah will not ask you this question. Allah will say, where did you earn it from? Whether you are a rickshaw puller, or you are a street sweeper, or whether you are a CEO of a multinational company, or whether you are some set sitting on a till of gold, makes no difference. Question is the same. If you earn 20 rupees in a day, where did you earn the 20 rupees from? If you spend 20 rupees in a day, where did you spend that 20 rupees? Halal or haram? That's it. Allah is not asking you about the amount of money. Last question. What did you do with the knowledge that I gave you? Where did you take this knowledge from? And what did you do with the knowledge? Allah will not ask you, how come you are not a mufti? Why didn't you memorize the Quran? No. Why were you not a doctor or an engineer or you know, financial consultant? No. Allah will say, that knowledge which I gave you, did you use this knowledge positively? Did you use this knowledge for the benefit of people? Or did you take this knowledge and you converted this knowledge into something evil? Or you held on to this knowledge, you did not share the knowledge? Or did you sell this knowledge for money? Scholars for dollars. What did you do? Right? That is the question. The questions are all on the choices we make. Because that is within our control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. Allah is just. Allah does not do zulm on anybody. We make the choices. We make our bed. And we have to lie in it. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ